Mothers are amazing people, aren't they? And those who act in that role of mothering are even more amazing things, people. I'm sure over the years, in various contexts, we've had people who cared for us and looked after us. And not only our own relatives. But one thing that is special to all of them, and all of us, is hands. And there really are amazing things, aren't they, when you look at hands? I mean, some are dirty, some are clean, some look as if they've never done anything, some certainly look as if they've done a hard day's work. But we use them for all sorts of things, don't we? For working, for carrying things, and eating. I think I've heard.
Yeah.
But it's always amazing, isn't it? People who, for some reason, can't move, use their hands, or haven't got hands, they find other ways, don't they? But we also use them for gestures and signaling to other people. You know, I mean...
This is dangerous ground, Jesse.
And hands, as John said at the beginning, can tell us so much about people. What we've done, what we're doing, whether we've been in the garden, whether we've sort of been in the kitchen in a mixing bowl. And this Smothering Sunday, we really want to remind you how important hands are for mothers and all those in the mothering role. In that way they show their love and care for others, for those in their care. Can we have a second slide, please? I think this is an amazing picture of hands. By looking at those hands, what can you tell us, or what can you see, or say about the person whose hands they are?
Old-ish.
Hard-working.
Yeah.
Resting.
Yeah, that's a good one. Anything else I wonder?
I just love the way a person looks as if they're content.
Mm.
We have resting, I think that content.
Yeah.
But they're also in a way, aren't they? I think that if somebody had a need or was upset or something, the hands would be there. So keep pondering on those hands, and keep pondering about your own hands and how you use them. So hands can show us love, they're there when we're upset, they give us reassurance. How often do we see, when we're out and about, a mother holding a young child's hands? Just that reassurance. And that moment when a young child looks around to see where the mother is and comes back and holds onto the skirt or the hands. It's encouragement, isn't it? You know, it's not this. It's sort of saying, yeah, do have a go. It'll be okay. But there's also that bit sometimes, is that hands can remind us that what we're doing isn't quite right. I mean, we try not to go like that. And we try not to go like that, certainly not. But sometimes it's just by using your hands that somebody recognises that they should do something. They might just be, stop. And we talked about contentment. And for that lady, I'm sure that said it's a place. And it's about us and how we use our hands when we're in peace with God and living our life with Him. But hands are also there. As somebody grows up and no longer needs what is doing the mothering, it's the letting go, no longer holding on to, but allowing them to go. Those of you who have children will know that bit when you sort of think, I ought to let them go to the shops by themselves. I ought to let them go to that out with their chums for the night. But it's that bit, I don't know whether you ever did it, but it's sort of lying in bed at night, pretending to be asleep, waiting till they come home. You're still there worrying about them, but it's that letting go. But interesting, in that letting go, with the mother figures, they're still there when there are needs. We often do, whatever age, don't we? If something's not quite right, is often our mothers or our mothering figure that we come and talk to. We hope they'll sort us out. Instead of saying, you're big enough to sort out yourself. But we aren't always. We just need that little bit of reassurance. So, growing up, our mothers or the person who cares for us are our rock. And part of their role is to enable each of us to fulfill our God-given potential every stage of our development as we're growing up, and allowing us to move from when we're very young to being completely dependent to moving on to becoming dependent, and hopefully in time discovering that independence of being together, supporting each other, caring. caring for each other, but all the time ensuring that the loving hands are there when anybody's uncertain. And in our Christian life, we need to be initially dependent on others, dependent on God, and reliant. And then we become independent. But as we grow in our Christian life, we need to become interdependent, relying and supporting each other. Our reading, do you know what, we've got a lot of readings now. What's the reading about?
What's the reading about? Jesus and Jesus in the temple. It's a
12-year-old.
Gordon, that's a 12-year-old.
I'm really impressed that everybody was listening.
Yeah. That's because he had the pros in the reading.
But us supposed to know that actually it was at 12 that a Jewish lad became a man, if you like. You know, for us it was, depending on what age we are, it was over 18, or for slightly older, it was 21. That's the point we've moved from childhood, in people's eyes, to being an adult. And so this time, this would have been Jesus' first Passover. And those who've been to the, particularly the home group last week, will recognise and know that Jerusalem would have been full of people. A lot of excitement going on. And for those lads who, I knew this would happen. It's alright, I've got some in it. Thank you. If they wanted to, is it all is cracked up to be? Is this Passover thing as wonderful and special as our parents have told us? As well as discovering that, hopefully, if it, as Jesus was a lovely lad, he would want to go exploring. Excuse me. And it is pure water. And it's like that's any anywhere we go, aren't we? I just love exploring down the back alleys, places you wouldn't normally go, off the beaten track. I don't know if that's your thing or not, but if you don't, you miss out on a lot of things. But I guess also that Jesus has perhaps those odd moments when he didn't feel quite so confident about wandering around. A park filled Jerusalem's filled room of throwing, a job to walk. And on the journey there, and in theory on the journey back, there'd been a whole group of people travelling, friends, relatives. And Jesus would have mingled with them all, with his mates. And his parents would have been particularly worried. And
Yeah. So check the Passover and then they were wandering back. And as Vaughan said, there'd been a group of them all together, so the parents were a bit worried. He'd be with friends, he'd be running, he'd be laughing, he'd be doing what lads do at 12 years old with their other friends. And then, probably that evening, probably at the mealtime, they suddenly realise, where is Jesus? And so instantly they go back to Jerusalem. It takes them 3 days to find Jesus in the temple. I don't know if any of you have ever lost a child in a crowd. I haven't seen one or two people nodding. Sharon and I lost our youngest, Ellie. She knows this, so she's watching. She's not surprised. She's not incompetent parent. For half an hour, we lost her. My heart was sinking. I was so worried about where she was and what would be happening. We were with a group of other people, and suddenly, have you seen Ellie? Have you seen Ellie? We found her, obviously, as you all later. We found her, and she was there, and we were restored to her. And we gave her a big hug with our hands when we saw her. Joseph and Mary finally end up back at the temple, back at the very dwelling place of God, as they believe in the Jewish faith. And he was there. He was there because there was a mother that a mother's arms around you is a place of hope and love and security. The temple of being a place of hope and love and security for Jesus as well.
Okay. Just about. You know, that's where Jesus ended up, but where had he been before? You know, I mean, had he lost track of time? What did he do for food and sleep? And what's he got on with? And actually, when Joseph and Mary found him in the temple, it may have been the last place they were expected. So I'm sure over those 3 days, they'd be thinking the worst. John's daughter wandered off. I've had times when youngsters I've taken places have never turned up at the right point. And it's standing up with every responsibility for her own. And one got lost in London. And one was still on the Big Dipper or somewhere, one of these places. But you know, your heart goes out. And it's that mixture for so many people of relief, but annoyance.
Yeah.
And frustration. And you can understand why Mary perhaps spoke a little bit sharp to Jesus. It was that mixture of relief. And having that go somewhere. But it was also a time of discovery for the world. Jesus had discovered more about his heavenly Father. He was engaging with his religious leaders and teachers. And in their hearts, Mary and Joseph would be amazed at what they heard and saw. And he's recognizing his unique relationship with God the Father. And that's a challenge for each one of us, isn't it? Do we recognize and are we aware of our unique relationship with God, our Father, and our Mother? And actually enable that relationship and that love to grow. But what's the other thing that is important, I think, is at the end. Mary and Joseph's love for Jesus enabled him to respect them and go back to speak God and be obedient to them. But their love enabled Jesus to grow into the human being that he was, as well as the Son of God. He grew physically, spiritually, intellectually, emotionally, and he became a grounded, loving, caring person. And that's a challenge for anyone who has that role of mothering and caring for us. How we enable others to grow as a loving, grounded, loving, caring person. And for many of us, we've got all kinds of things in our lives which have set us and shaped us. But is this where we need to allow God, our Heavenly Father, our Mother, to enable us to let go and become the people that he wants us to be. So as we travel on our Christmas, we do it often with others, but we continue to grow in our relationship with God and enable him to work through us, often in ways we don't expect, or at times enabling us to become the unique people he wants us to be. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says, become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then will be no longer infants tossed about. And it's a challenge for us to become mature Christians, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Can we have the last slide, please? A mother's role is to enable her young to learn to live as a caring, loving individual with a sense of freedom and excitement, but in a way that enables them to share this with others as they grow to maturity. And this is what God desires and wants of each of us in our relationship and our life with him. We've got that love and stride, first hands game. The person who's found contentment and peace. A person who's there to reach out for others. And underneath, we've got that reminder that God's got the whole world in his hands and he cares for each one of us.